When I was growing up in Pittsburgh in the 1950s, it wasn't easy being a sports fan. My Pirates and Steelers were usually awful. I had no National Basketball Association team to root for, and my hockey team played in a minor league. Sports fans in other cities had championship teams and great rivalries in the 1950s. New York fans had their Dodgers, Giants, and Yankees in just about every World Series. On Thanksgiving Day, Detroit and Green Bay fans watched bitter NFL rivals, the Lions and the Packers, play on national television. And Boston and Philadelphia fans had that great NBA rivalry between Bill Russell's Celtics and Wilt Chamberlain's Warriors. As for my Pirates, we had that National League team at the other end of the state, but the Phillies and the Pirates were hardly the stuff of rivalries. While the Phillies, dubbed the Whiz Kids, won the National League pennant in 1950, my Pirates ended up in last place. The only way I could see my Pirates at the top of the National League standings was to turn the newspaper upside down. Except in 1951 and 1956, when those lovable Cubs claimed last place, my Pirates finished every season in the cellar until 1958, when they finally had a winning record and a first division finish. Any hope of a Pennsylvania rivalry vanished, however, when the Phillies, aware of a vacancy in the National League cellar, took over last place in 1958 and refused to leave for four straight years, including 1960, when my Pirates won the World Series, their first since 1925. There were actually two Pennsylvania teams that won championships in 1960, but the other team played in the National Football League. It was actually that other team, the Philadelphia Eagles, that I hated when I was growing up because their games with my Steelers were bloodbaths, where more players ended up in the emergency room than in the end zone. My Steelers lost most of their games, but their defense was mean and tough and made life miserable for other teams. They had a defensive tackle, Ernie Stotner, who wore makeshift casts on his hands, even though they weren't broken, so he could use the casts to pound offensive linemen into submission. The Eagles had the likes of Wild Man Willie and Bucko Kilroy, who made careers out of destroying quarterbacks. The Steelers-Eagles games were so violent that NFL Commissioner Burt Bell once warned the teams against using their forearms, elbows, or knees to maim their opponents, a warning that was ignored. In one memorable game in 1955, the Steelers, with their quarterback Jim Finks wearing a catcher's mask to protect the broken jaw he'd suffered in an earlier game in Philadelphia, won in dramatic fashion and took over first place, but they were so banged up after beating the Eagles that they lost six of their last seven games. I've waited over 50 years to get my revenge against the hated Eagles and thought I'd finally had the chance this past season when the Steelers and the Eagles appeared to be headed to the Super Bowl. But the Steelers messed that up by losing in the playoffs. What made matters worse was that the Eagles ended up in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, another team I love to hate because they keep beating my Steelers. I was rescued from my dilemma by my wife Anita, who reminded me that after marrying in 1965, we spent our first year in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and had some great weekends in Philadelphia. For Anita, rooting against the Eagles would be like rooting against the Liberty Bell. On the other hand, Anita thought that the Patriots, especially Tom Brady, had become far too smug and arrogant. So I took Anita's advice and rooted against the Patriots, even if that meant rooting for the Eagles. When the Eagles won, I expected Anita to be happy with the outcome, but to my dismay, Anita said that she felt sorry for Tom Brady. I thought about gathering the Peterson family for an intervention, but I finally decided to play along with my good-hearted but misguided wife. After all, the new baseball season is approaching, and my poor Pirates and I are going to need all the prayers and pity we can get from Anita. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.